welcome this shivery morning to It's Your Money. I am Jean Isley, founding partner of Anchor Financial, a Raymond James affiliate, and we are joined by our co-host, David R. Thierman, who I'm sure is not shivering in Florida. We're all jealous, David. Good morning.
Good morning, Jean M. Isley. So during this holiday week or so here, I figured, you know, one of us took the short straw. We take straws, and everyone wants to be on top of things, current on events. But, you know, someone volunteers to go south and report the president's in Florida. And we figure if the president's in Florida, the administration, a lot of them are in Florida. And to be current on events, news events with respect to finance and tax law, and what's going on from Washington, we actually have to send someone down to Florida. And the short straw, I had to fly down just to keep current on events.
Well,
I miss you and Holly.
I'm going to call begonias. I'm calling begonias on that one.
So David R. Thierman, people out there are thinking he wouldn't let the ladies just be there in the cold.
And oh,
the
answer sure is, he would.
Yes, I would. But I was telling Holly, our producer, and Jeannie, it's not the same without the two of you, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because really, every weekend, someone says, you know, who do you spend your weekends with? It's Jeannie and Holly.
That's right.
Every weekend morning is with Jeannie and Holly. So I get up, I look around, and you're not here. How's the weather in South Jersey today?
Oh, it's ducky. It's, should I say yucky? Yeah, it's pretty. I'll tell you what, it could have been a lot worse. We dodged a bullet. Pardon me. It's there was snow in my flower beds, but the grass was fine. The roads were great. I tell you, the county and the townships have done a great job with the roads. No ice, no sliding, no slipperies, and no sign of any accidents all the way in from Port Republic. So hats off and kudos to the road crews out there. They did a terrific job. But we did dodge a bullet, I'll tell you. North of us was not so lucky. But let's face it, it is the end of December, and the weather is not supposed to be balmy and gorgeous like you're experiencing, David. Oh, did I just say that?
You threw me under the bus, Jean, okay?
No, I would never do that, because I know you really miss us.
I do miss you. And that Holly, she said, how's the weather there? Where they're complaining on the west coast of Florida, Gene, that they need rain because it's been sunny and warm each day. There's actually a bit of a drought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the problem in the west coast of Florida. There's a little bit of a drought there. And we'll keep you up to date. It's interesting, by the way. Up until through Hanukkah, Christmas, it's not too crowded. But on the west coast of Florida, they... And now we'll get crowded throughout the season. I'll be coming back this week to South Jersey, back to the office this week. But the idea is, it's interesting, on the real estate report, if we're down here, might as well give you tax news, real estate news. Real estate on the west coast of Florida is slower. You had two hurricanes last year, Helene and Milton. And it's interesting, the stock market has ticked up, had a great year, but I do see real estate slower in Florida because I'll tell people, when people are looking around for different places, or if you're looking to retire, or people are looking for a second home, or if they're looking for a place David Thierman can come and visit, just let us know. But the cost in Florida is not inexpensive. Florida has become one of the more expensive southern states, not because of income taxes, they have none, but they have property taxes, and the price of property has dramatically gone up the last decade. So a lot of people, Gene, I'll see people in my office, and they're in the Carolinas. There's Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach. They're in the Charleston area. They go to Delaware. So you do see the cost of living affecting Florida on the West Coast being expensive and real estate slowing up.
Well, it's interesting on the East Coast. The prices on the East Coast are pretty high if you're in the market. We had put our condo on the market 2 years ago and within 3 days got more than our asking price. But in that interim period, I was looking around at properties to buy because we wanted to get out of a condo. I would never buy another condo as long as I live. But again, the individual homes, the prices were through the roofs, and I'll tell you, they were really just teardowns. They were built in the 60s and 70s and just old, old, old Florida, and there was nothing I could find that I really wanted to be, you know, that we talked about putting the money into, because we're not there enough. You know, if you're there enough, you don't mind investing in you know, a decent home, but we're not there enough to do that. So we just decided we're kind of stuck where we are. And, of course, with the renovations of any building over two stories that's mandated now in Florida, they've been working on our building for almost 2 years. And it's just dust and dirt, and it's a mess. So there's a lot going on in Florida. But I'll tell you, overall, it certainly beats it up here in the Northeast. There's just no comparison. David, we have we've got our friend Eric on the line. Good morning, Eric.
Sure. Good morning, Jeannie. Good morning, David. Hope all is well with everybody. Jeannie, is it okay if I discuss the letter we got the mail the other day from you?
Yes, it's time we popped the news, right, David?
I'm listening.
Jeannie, since my wife and I have been with you for years and years, we consider you our guardian angel. And when I saw that letter in the mail the other day, I told my wife, I said, before you even open it, I think I can tell you exactly what's going to be in it, and I was right. Jeannie, you deserve the best of everything, and I wish you the happiness, because what you've done for us cannot be described.
Uh-huh.
And both you and David, but we've been with you for years.
Yes.
And I didn't know what you were going to discuss today, what was in the letter, but Godspeed, and we love you, and we look forward to Leanne and the group, and I wish I could just reach out and give you a big hug. Thank you so much, Jeannie.
Oh, Eric, thank you for those kind words, and you and your wife have been dear friends for, I'm sorry, I wasn't going to do this.
Jeannie, I got a tear in my eye, just like you do.
It's been a long time, Eric. I've been at this for 5 decades, and I think it's time to take it slower. So I am retiring as of Wednesday, and I'm not going anywhere, though. We'll still be around. Holly, you're
sweet. Big hug, and love you, and Godspeed.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Jeannie.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
I know, and you know, it's funny. You say we've been together a long time. We have been together for decades, and you know, our clients are family to me. And when years and years ago, when I started to put our team together as the Isley Gilbert Gray Group, Mary Gilbert's about 15 years younger than me, and Leanne's about 15 years younger than she is. And, you know, all too often I see people come in our door and once in a while you hear somebody say, well, my broker retired, my advisor retired, and I walk in and I don't know who the heck I'm talking to, and they don't know me, they don't know my life, my business, my family. But in our team, and this was done purposefully, in our team we all work with all of our clients. We all know everything that's going on with our clients. And, you know, it's just, it makes everything more comfortable and more of an easy flow for times just like this. And it's, you know, it's extremely bittersweet. But, you know, there comes a time when you have to say it's time to think of something
exactly,
else.
Exactly, because it's all the years, all the kindness you've given everybody. I hope it's all returned back to you, and you and your husband enjoy everything, and thank you again, and we hope to see you in the future. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you, Eric, and you will see me in the future. I'm not going away, and I'll probably see you at the summer barbecue this summer that we do for our clients, and I promise to be not far away.
All right, Jeannie, bye-bye.
Bye, Eric. I am leaving you in very capable hands, let me tell you.
Oh, we know that. Thank you, Jeannie.
All right, my friend. Be well. It's, yeah, it's really, it's tough. But there is a time. A time comes that you really just have to move on. And I'm going to do that. And we're going to be busy. We've got a group of friends together of several years ago. And we started a project that's near and dear to all of our hearts. The renovation of that beautiful, beautiful church in Atlantic City, St. Nicholas of Tolentine. So we're almost halfway through the renovation. We were, and then COVID hit. And so we got together again about a month or so ago and got the group back. So the band is back together, and we're going to start to raise some money to finish the church. And with the help of Monsignor Hodge, who's he was at that church for 18 years and was able to complete the renovation of the outside of the building. And I love that. I love that beautiful church. So we're going to bring her back to her glory. And that's going to take up some time. So I'm not going to be sitting around twiddling my thumbs, that's for sure. But we're also not going to cancel the show. We're going to.
Jeannie's going to take a little break from. But the idea is Holly's there. I'm here. And guess what? Because Jeannie has to keep busy. Okay. Jeannie will still be on the radio with us.
Yes, I will. That's not going away.
So we're here for you each and every time. And you'll just, you know, so this way I don't have to do my Jean Emma Isley impression.
That's true.
Otherwise the people get upset. I don't do very good impressions.
Well, that's okay, David. We'll help you out.
Yes.
No, it's all good.
Meanwhile, at this point, our respective offices, we should give out our telephone numbers, Jean.
Right. Mine for another week and David's for longer. You can reach David.
Jeannie said, if I'm slowing up, David, you'll just work twice as hard.
That's right. And
yes,
you said,
what the heck?
And you said, I'm going to start in Florida. No, but you can reach David at his law offices. He's not retiring. In Summers Point, you can reach him at 609-653-6003. Regarding your wills, your powers of attorney, your living wills, trust work, there's a lot that goes on in a law office that deals with tax, estate, and nursing home planning. So David is always there for you. And I will be there for another week. And from then on, you can speak with Mary Gilbert or Leanne Gray. And our office is at 1801 New Road in Linwood. You can reach two ways, myanchorteam.com or 609-454-8930. And as always, we'll be here for you each and every weekend. And I can still talk about what's going on Wall Street and what's behind the news of the day. I will not be giving financial advice to clients anymore after Wednesday. We'll just take a different form, that's all. So life is not ending, just changing a little bit.
And then meanwhile, Gene, we close out 2025, as you were saying. It's been a good year. It's certainly been a roller coaster, am I right, Gene?
Oh, my goodness.
How is it ending up 2025 on the financial front?
It's just been a tremendous year, and we've seen many sectors participate in this wave of movement on the upside. A lot of it's being fed by the reduction of interest rates, which we hope to see more of come January. We've got a changing of the guard. Chairman Powell will be out of the picture shortly. We don't know who is going to be put up for replacement, but I'm sure it's going to be somebody who's a little bit more favorable to be looking at the actual results in the economy and what things are being affected by the higher rate structure. So we're hoping for a continued reduction in interest rates, hopefully. And we'll report what's going on as far as, you know, when rates drop, bond values rise. So everyone who in the fixed income market has sat patiently all year waiting for the values of their fixed income portfolio to come back, you're starting to be paid off. So perseverance has paid off. David, we have Alan on the line from Egg Harbor City, it looks like. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I have a question concerning the difference between ETFs and mutual funds as an investment. What are the differences in tax ramifications?
Well, you've got a big payday coming up at the end of the year for mutual fund owners. You see at the end of the year capital gain distributions and dividend distributions, and they're uncontrollable, Alan. You have no control over anything for your tax picture when you own mutual funds. They pay out, period, your tax period. ETFs don't do that. You know, again, you've got an image of an index or a strategy when you're investing in ETFs. They're the most popular form of investment on the planet because of the tax favorability and the treatment of them. You can control the capital gain because you make the decision to sell. If you've got losses in your ETFs, you can utilize the losses to offset gains elsewhere in the portfolio. The expenses of owning a mutual fund can be 2, 3, 4% per year. ETFs, maybe 0.05, maybe 0.08, whatever the case may be, it's much, much less expensive to own ETFs. So there are many different benefits to an exchange-traded fund versus a mutual fund. And over the last few years, they have taken the place of the mutual fund market to a very large degree. Do you own mutual funds, Alan, or ETFs?
I own mutual funds. Are they just as safe, ETFs, as mutual funds?
Well, safety, when you're looking at an equity investment, you've got to consider that there is a level of risk in anything, ETFs as well. Mutual funds, you don't know what's in your portfolio. You know the strategy that you've invested in. I bought a long-term growth or a long-term, it depends on the strategy of that particular mutual fund, a stated investment strategy. ETFs have very similar strategies in nature. You're buying an index. So the index you invest in, you can buy the S&P 500 index, one of the most popular and greatest returns this year that we've seen. The Vanguard, the S&P 500. There are many different forms of S&P 500s that you can invest in. So, but you're investing in that that strategy of the 500 largest stocks on the big board. So again, you can invest in oil, you can invest in AI, you can invest in a multitude of strategies in the form of an ETF, and the same thing with a mutual fund. But you want to know what the expense ratio is before you make that investment decision. And let's talk about the tax strategy, because as I said, the end of the year is when mutual funds pay their capital gain distributions. Some do it twice a year, some do it quarterly. But you'll see a dip in the value of your mutual fund, equivalent to basically the distribution rate that you're going to be receiving. But exchange-traded funds do not have the capital gain distributions that you see with mutual funds.
Can you transfer from a mutual fund to an ETF without any tax liability?
No, you cannot. You actually close out the transaction and establish a new one.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that information.
Okay. I know it was a lot of words. I hope it made sense.
it absolutely did.
Good. Thank you. Happy New Year to you, Alan.
Thank you.
And as you said, Gene,
thank you.
The ETF typically would not have a year-end distribution for tax purposes, while mutual funds would oftentimes. Am I correct, Gene?
That is correct. Absolutely. So, you know, and as I said, as I told Alan, that's one of the benefits of the ETF versus the mutual fund. So, again, you have to take a look at what you own, what your strategy is, what your goals are, what you need to have your money doing for you. And when we sit down and analyze what, working with our clients or our potential clients, future clients, this is part of the overall strategy when we're going through estate planning, tax planning, financial planning, and the overall financial plan that's done initially for our potential clients and our clients that's updated periodically. So there's a lot that goes into financial planning. It's not just buy this, sell that. You know, and again, things change in your life. You've got to have a flexible plan that can be updated and change with you. Excuse me. So, and I know several people close to my heart have just gone through the financial planning process or in the midst of it. And, you know, it's basically an hour-long process at least. It's getting to know you and your family and your family dynamic and what's going on in your world. And everybody's different. No two people have, you know, the same thing in life going on as we speak. And it's got to be something that is addressed and planned for. And then as things change, whether it's for the better or the worse, the financial plan gets updated. And we're able to paint a lot of what-if scenarios for people. What if I work till I'm 70? What if I work till I'm 60? What if I take my Social Security later in life or earlier in life? How does that affect me down the road? Is my money going to last? That's the number one concern that people have. Am I going to outlive my money or not? And we have several ways to illustrate this for people so that you can see all in all these what-if scenarios what your money life is going to look like. And then you could keep working.
And we know from an estate planning point of view, Jean, what we do, you have three documents essentially in New Jersey. You have a general durable power of attorney, a health care declaration, living will, and a will. We make sure in the documents we put your estate planning, you're going to live a long time.
Yeah. Okay. How's that work?
Yeah, we have that set forth, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's the plan. Because people always say, what's the number one plan? The number one plan in estate planning and financial is grow your money, live your life, and enjoy.
That's right.
But it is interesting, and Gene will always mention on this also, we'll touch base after the bottom of the hour, the news break, which I'm sure will be good news, Gene.
Holly's saying no, and we're going to do that in 2 minutes.
But what will happen is we'll talk about during the holidays, people get together, and you can have wonderful family members, but at some point in life you realize some are more fiscally and financially responsible than others.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, if I'm going to make various family members beneficiaries, some will be able to get the monies outright. Some, if I give him or her the money outright, it'll be misspent, misadvised. So the idea being, you know, I've worked decades, half a century oftentimes for the money. How do I want the money to pass after I am physically no longer here? I want it to last maybe for 10 years, 50 years. I want my money to go on for a few generations. So a big part of estate planning is addressing how your money should be handed out, not just immediately upon passing, but maybe over the generations.
That's a big thing, let me tell you. It's, you know, again, everybody wants to enjoy their own money, and you've worked hard enough and earned it yourself. You want to enjoy it. And if you're fortunate enough to leave something, you want to be sure that it's not mismanaged. And I know, David, one of your favorite sayings is shirts to shirtless in three generations. And boy, haven't we seen it. And we can talk more about how to preserve your assets or how to do good things with your assets when we come back from this bottom of the hour break. And, you know, there's so many things that we can bring to light that we've experienced during our lifetimes and in our family, you know, in our family dynamics, even over time that we see, whether it's with friends or, you know, other people that we work with or whatever the case may be. But there are things that can be done, and we'll talk about that when we come back in about a minute and a half. Good morning, and welcome back to It's Your Money. I am Jean Isley, founding partner of Anchor Financial, joined by our co-host, David R. Thierman, tax, estate, and nursing home attorney. David's law offices are on New Road in Summers Point. And you can reach him during the week at 609-653-6003. And our offices are in New Road in Linwood. You can reach our offices at Anchor Financial at 609-454-8930 or myanchorteam.com. David, it's winding up to be a very satisfying year on Wall Street. We're seeing gas prices down. I paid under $3 a gallon on the Parkway, believe it or not, this week, and very happy to be reporting that. The price of eggs are down, and of course, you know, everybody squawked about eggs. You can't afford them. They're selling for $8, $9 a dozen. Well, if you recall, we hit about with the avian flu last year that happened to coincide with the price of eggs going up. So when you kill a billion chickens, you're going to make their product, the output, more costly. So, you know, common sense will prevail. It's not just because people want to raise the price of eggs. It's because there weren't enough chickens around to produce them. But, you know, if you just sit back, take a breath and breathe through all this nonsense and all these crazy commentaries that are going on, some things do make sense. So before we get further into this, though, let's go to a good old longtime friend of the show and mine personally, Mr. Tom Foley. How are you, Tom?
Good morning, Jeannie. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're going to be in the same club as I am.
That's right. I know. Well, I got jealous watching you have so much fun.
Well, Happy New Year to you. What's that guy's name from Florida?
Our Floridian friend, yes. David. David.
Well, a couple of questions.
But I miss everyone calling in from Florida. I'll be happy at the office, Gene.
Yeah, sure. I know.
a couple of questions. You know, you get together for the holidays and you start talking, and I have a relative who she's just got another job, and she had a Roth IRA with her current job, and there's not a lot in there. She's like 35 years old, and it's like $6,000, and her new job doesn't offer a Roth for some reason. I don't know why, but it goes into, can she convert that into another account, like what is the 401k account?
Well, a couple things she can do. Now, you say her new job does not offer a Roth component in their 401k?
That's what I understand.
Yeah, it's unusual because I know, in fact, my contributions in the last few years have been 100% to my Roth component. But, you know, again, she should investigate that just a little further because she can transfer from one employee program to another very easily. She just contacts the benefits department at the new job, or HR, human resources, should be the benefits department that would allow her information and access to roll that into her new company's plan. And doing so can save her management fees and expenses in doing so. So versus rolling it out into an account that she'll control on her own. So it's it makes sense financially for her to be rolling it into her company, her new company's plan. Ask that big important question, though. Do you offer a Roth component? And I'd almost ask, why not? But
I agree.
Yeah,
she could roll it into a Roth, right? If it is
at 35, I would keep it in a Roth. I would add to a Roth. She can roll it out and make additional contributions on her own. To a Roth, you got to watch what the income levels are and things like that. There are rules that allow you to contribute to a Roth versus a traditional. Traditional IRAs offer you a deductibility factor, but is that contribution really going to save you that much tax by funding a traditionally deductible IRA versus the Roth that gives you no benefit in reduction of income? So. And the key question that I ask everybody is, do you think taxes are going to be lower now or down the road when you retire? And, of course, nobody's got a crystal ball that can answer that, but taxes have never really come down dramatically over our lifetime. So I am a big proponent of the Roth IRA if your income allows you to contribute.
Okay, thank you. And, David, I have a question also. You know, I have a relative on Social Security disability, and they're still paying taxes on that. I thought that was changed, And how has it changed in the up-and-coming year from what President Trump is doing with the Social Security?
Yeah, I'm checking on the Social Security disability. So your Social Security, once you're over $25,000, the idea is it is taxed, and it doesn't adjust for inflation. Social Security disability, let me see, is looking up real quickly, addition to your benefits, I'm looking, trying to see the figure for the year. Let's see. Okay, ready? So your Social Security disability, married or single?
Married.
Okay, so it's going to be the same way. Once they hit, and this figure always stays the same, Tom, it doesn't adjust for inflation. So the idea is your Social Security disability follows your Social Security. It's when you hit $32,000 of income, it's taxed.
Okay.
So do they have other income, dividends, interest? Because they don't have work income, they're not working, they're on disability. But if they have other investments, plus half their disability puts them above $32,000 as a married couple, they pay tax on their Social Security disability.
Okay. Yeah, what about any
Thank
changes?
You.
Has Trump,
Happy and healthy.
Done?
I'm sorry, Tom, I could barely hear you.
Any changes that Trump has done to that, David?
Nothing on there. Here's what happens. On Social Security, you would need 60 votes in the Senate. So Social Security did not pass through essentially the Reconciliation Act. You would need a majority of 60, a supermajority. And that wasn't going to happen. Social Security, there was ideas of Social Security not being taxed for senior citizens who are not on disability. That did not pass either. So the only chance there would be 60 votes in the Senate, which on the tax bill, the federal tax bill this year, it did not get 60 votes. So Social Security is still taxed.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, guys. And
Happy
New
Year
to both of you. And again, congratulations, Jeannie.
Oh, thanks, Welcome. Tommy. I'll see you at St. Nicholas.
Absolutely.
I know you're a fan. Happy New Year to you and your bride, and all the best in the New Year.
I was an older boy there.
Oh, all right. Then we'll see you there with a hammer and some nails, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, my friend. You be well. Thanks, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Tom is a longtime Atlantic City boy, storied career. Public safety director, just an all-around great guy and a big fan of the city of Atlantic City. So I value his friendship and always have. David, we're so fortunate. We've got so many wonderful listeners and friends and clients in the area and out of the area, too. But we've just really had a very wonderful and blessed career and career path. And I know you're not close to retirement, but I just can't. I just can't believe I'm retiring, number one. But number two, how fortunate I've been.
Here's what happens. Let's quash all the rumors out there. Ready, Gene?
What's
People
that?
People will say, I heard Gene Amizzi's retiring. No. This is like baseball. This is like football. You wait till you see, okay? She'll come back. She'll be a pitcher. Okay, I'm going to start that, okay?
Okay, that's good.
She's retiring this week. Let's see what we can get Jean to do next week. She's going to be on the radio with us each week. We're going to have a good time.
And I'll keep you posted with the progress and things that are going on with St. Nicholas. And we are just, that is one magnificent church. And no matter what your religion, no matter what your beliefs, to me, in my mind, it's always been a mini St. Patrick's Cathedral. But it's a magnificent church built in, they started construction in 1899, and there are tours of the church that you can take. You would not believe the makeup of that building. It's just beyond being the church and the hub of Atlantic City, that, and of course, Star of the Sea as well in St. Michael's. But I've always had a special place in my heart for St. Nicholas. So you might get tired of hearing me talk about it, but that's my next venture. You're going to help
just
us?
Just for our listeners, Gene, how they were saying about Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
So that did not pass because you needed 60 votes. Meanwhile, on tips, Gene, There is, you know, that did pass because that's strictly a tax item, not a government program. The tax on tips, okay?
Right.
Federally, that's the rule.
Right.
On a state level, okay? At the moment, okay, there's only four states that are following in the step path. How do you say that, Gene? In step, I guess. In step with the federal government.
There
and
you go.
States not taxing tips are South Carolina, North Dakota, Montana, and Ohio. So it depends where you want to work and make tips.
And none of those states are in big tips or big tip states. You've got, you know, like Las Vegas, Nevada, or Atlantic City, or New York, you know, where the people work a lot and rely on tips for their income.
Yeah. By the way, they talk about affordability. The three states that aren't going to follow the federal government that have already said, no, we're going to tax tips on a state level. We don't care what the federal government does.
Right.
There's three states leading the way to tax tips. You don't want to be a waiter in these three states, which are New York, Illinois, and California.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so the states talking about affordability, they mean they want more money. Not that it's affordable for you, but they want your money. So
mm-hmm.
if you move to New York, Illinois, or California, they've announced we're taking more of your money, and you'll be better off because of it.
Yeah, right.
And they keep a straight face. It's pretty good, you know?
Unbelievable.
By the way, they call that the Full Employment Act.
For accountants.
There's a tax on everything. There's a tax on your phone bill, a tax on your utilities, your water, your gas bills, a tax, which is your tolls, your gas tax, income tax, sales, and then there's use tax. So just to let people know, if you got a gift, okay, and the gift came in from another state, especially, for example, we're next to Delaware in New Jersey.
Yes.
If someone brought you a gift from Delaware, they didn't pay sales tax. But once, let's say, it's an electrical item, it's a jigsaw, if you're handy in the garage, or it's an iron, if you like to iron clothes, once you use that item in New Jersey, your holiday gift, whether it be Hanukkah or Christmas, Kwanzaa, once you plug it in, you're using it in New Jersey. So not only do you have a sales tax, you have a use tax. So what I do, Gene, I buy the iron in Delaware. I don't pay sales tax.
Right.
And then I iron my clothes in Delaware and then take the ferry back. I didn't use it in New Jersey.
You do not.
Yes. Yeah, so, no. People think, you know, I just saw this fellow. It's very interesting. All these iron shirts on the ferry.
I'm David.
On the sales and use tax.
David.
Okay, I'm not. It was just a good way to talk about taxes. We tried, Gene.
Okay, sure.
More important, like I said at the beginning of the hour. First, Gene is always there for all of us, and you and I know, Gene. I always say shirts to shirtless.
Yes.
When you look, and where this started, by the way, the two most prominent families, the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers.
Right.
At the turn of this 1900s, the turn of the century there, the two wealthiest families in America were the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers, okay?
Right.
Well, a century and a half, you know, a little bit over a century later, okay, 100 years later, there's not, within 100 years, the two wealthiest families, there's not one Vanderbilt who inherited worth more than $1 million. While every Rockefeller, 100 years later, is a millionaire. So the Vanderbilt's money has all been squandered in 100 years. One of the wealthiest families in America, and the Rockefellers hasn't. And the difference is, the Vanderbilts trusted their family members to manage the money for themselves and future generations.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to squander the money they got that just fell from the sky. They were frugal. No, when you inherit money, oftentimes you just misuse it and spend it. The Rockefellers had it managed. And the Rockefellers' money was managed by different financial institutions. And a century later is all still there for all the Rockefellers. But the Vanderbilts were just of the thought that, well, a family member will keep taking care of this for other family members. All you need is one family member to go through all the money, which is exactly what has happened with the Vanderbilts. Mm. So someone will say, well, I'm not as wealthy as the Vanderbilts or the Rockefellers, or as the Isleys, you know, the third wealthiest.
Sure. So we're right up there with the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers.
And the Isleys. But the idea is, no. Someone has a few $100,000. They pass away, someone's going to inherit it and squander it. The answer is, I don't want that to happen, Mr. Thierman. I want my beneficiaries to get it over 5, 10, 20, 30 years at different ages. I don't want it misspent. Or I want the money to go out 4% a year so it lasts for hopefully 50 years, 100 years, 200 years. You have all that opportunity. So in a state law, it's not just who will receive the assets. It's how they will receive the assets. Because when you look at different family members at holiday time, you can see how some financially are dramatically different with handling finances than others. So always important when you look at your documents, is the money going to be there, or is your money that you've worked for decades going to be misspent and wasted? It's a big part of your estate plan. Do I want the money just to be distributed out, or do I want it to go over time? And everyone does it differently, but it's just important to give it thought for your sake and your family.
You know, you look at the Post family also, Post cereals. They built, Marjorie Merriweather Post actually built Mar-a-Lago, I think, in the early 20s. And President Trump bought it in 85. But the Post family name lives on in infamy as well. And again, properly managed. So it's all about how you're right, David. It's all about who oversees it and how it's managed as to the success or failure of your financial growth and your financial estate. It can be easily mismanaged, and we've all seen it. We've all seen people come into great sums of money and just not do the right thing with it, and it's gone. You know, lottery winners.
Yeah, I was going to add, Gene, you can see where a family has three children,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at all three children, they have the same parents, okay? They all had the same opportunity, raised in the same household.
Right.
You can be sure those three children handle money dramatically different.
Absolutely.
Some invest, some don't. Some are frugal, some are spenders. So when you distribute, you can leave assets equal, you can leave it unequal. But depending on the situation, you can say, look, I'm going to leave it equal, but one child should get it right away, and the other needs help. It should go out over time so they're not misspent, the monies aren't misspent, or if they're married, the in-law doesn't get a hold of everything.
And that is a big problem in some cases.
Yeah, well, just like a parent can pass away, Gene, it all goes to a child who then passes away. It ends up with your in-law.
Right.
It doesn't end up with your grandchildren or other beneficiaries. So like you said, Gene, in-laws can be wonderful. But the idea is you don't necessarily want to benefit them. You want to benefit maybe your blood. So it's always an interesting situation. So a lot of people will give it a lot of thought, and other people will say, I have my will from 30 years ago. My financial situation has changed. The factual situation has changed, but they haven't updated. So just make sure, not so much from a tax front or from a financial front, but from a factual path.
Right.
They make sure you're up to date with the facts of the family.
And as I have said all along, in-laws can become outlaws. So you want to be, you know, and people wonder what the term per stirpes means that they see in their documents. And that just means basically down the bloodline. You want to keep it on your side of the family and not have it go to the in-laws. You know, God forbids there's a passing or there's a divorce or something like that, and they inherit, and it goes to the future ex or someone that you don't know their background or their family dynamic, and it can be mismanaged, misspent, and so you want to be careful with that. And sometimes you say, I love my in-laws, my kids' in-laws, I love them, they're like family to me, and you want to include them. So that's why, you know, we say there's no cookie-cutter approach to estate and financial planning. Every family dynamic is unique and has to be addressed appropriately. And I know you see it with trust work all the time, David. People leave money to a child. If the child's no longer there, then I want a trust created for that child's children, if they're minors.
Right, and they'll sometimes say, look, I want their surviving parent, my in-law, watching it, or it's family money. Mm-hmm. My in-law has his or her money. They're working. I want the family money to be watched by the family.
Right. Right.
Or another, you know, person might say, look, I want it for 100 years or a couple hundred years. I want it 4% a year, so I want an institution that will be there to guide the money for a few generations. So everyone has different thoughts. But again, Gene, the number one estate plan going into the new year, stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, spend your money, live your life, and as long as you're here, the estate plan works beautifully.
Right. That's true.
It's really just the hiccup. And starting the new year, Gene, we're excited for you. And as we said, Gene will be with us each and every weekend. And she loves being in the cold weather. Once in a while, I'll call in from Florida. I'm back in the office this coming week. And Holly, she's guiding the ship here with us.
Yes, she is.
For the new year, Gene, or she's here?
Holly's birthday, first of all, is Wednesday. So happy birthday to our Holly Amendolia. And what are you, 27?
Oh, I wish. 29.
29? Oh, you're 29. A baby. You started here at 19?
I started as an intern when I was 16.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Jeannie, you know what had? I remember Holly when we first started, when she was starting at 16. It was Fisher-Price she had back there in the okay.
She had the Fisher Price mic.
Honked, yeah. She was very young when she started.
Wow. That's amazing.
So we're here with Holly. Holly's with us. Jeannie's with us. David R. Thierman, our listeners. We're very fortunate. We enjoy this, don't we, Jean?
Yes, we do. I don't know what I'd do at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning if I wasn't here. It's been, this May will be, 34 years, David? We're on the air together?
It's hard for me. I don't remember, so I'm counting on you, Gene.
Well, I remember we started at WRDR, which was out in, pardon me, Egg Harbor City. 50,000
yeah,
watt machine that
Philadelphia
was.
Philadelphia Avenue, Egg Harbor City.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And then way back when we started on WOND, my neighbor was Howard Green.
Yeah, who owned the station.
He was a wonderful fella.
He was,
and
yes.
And he owned WOND, Channel 40, all the stations.
Yep.
And then Wibbage, WIBG, Rick Brancadora.
Yeah, our good friend Rick.
We started on in Ocean City many years back, so we've known a terrific group and look forward to continue.
Yes, we do. It's been a great run, and it's not over yet. But, you know, as we draw to a close on this year on Wednesday and go into the 250th year for the United States of America, starting in the end of the week. It's going to be a great year, a lot of great things going on. I hope it's a safe year. And as far as all of our clients and friends, clients are our friends, we get to know you so well and guide you through so many situations over the years. It's been my honor and my pleasure to do so. And it's, you know, they say that if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Well, I have yet to work a day. I love what I do, and I have from the moment I started. And it's been a great run. And we're just moving on to a different, I guess, changing the channel is what I can call this, to a new venture. But we'll still be here with you each and every weekend with It's Your Money. And I don't know, David, it's going to be strange. I won't be affiliated with
Anchor. No, you're
stuck.
Well, what'll happen is, Gene, it'll be nice. You know, on the radio, this way is a nice way of, hey, look, you're not going to the office, but you'll be on the radio, staying on finances. It's sort of like someone who watches baseball. Gene M. Isley watches finances. so we can still discuss. It's all good, Gina Montley.
Yes,
and your husband, Tom's excited, I'm sure.
He's very excited, and I'm trying to get him to slow down a little bit, but that's not happening so far. So you never know. But he wanted to be able to spend more time.
How it works is, yes, I was just going to say, Tom Isley with the tile business on Fire Road. So when people call in besides finance, they can always ask Gene about tile.
That's true. Yeah, I'll have all the latest tile tips. My nephew Kyle's going crazy with the marketing on that end of it. He's very talented, so I'll get some tips for you for setting tile. No, I won't. You can rely on them.
We're here. And as we said, you can always reach Gene M. Isley and myself, David R. Thierman, during the week. During the weekend on the show, 609-927-1100. My office you can reach during the week, and also Gene's office.
Yes, you can. And David, we're about out of time. One more year in the can, as they say. And we want to wish you all a safe and happy and healthy 2026. From the Thierman family and the Isley family, God bless you all. David, any closing thoughts?
Gene, I just want to congratulate you. I wasn't sure if that was the closing thought. Wait a few seconds. Our warmest and best regards for everyone listening. And Gene, congratulations. And Gene, we'll be back each and every week, so we're here with
you. Yes, we will. We'll be here for you. We're not going anywhere. Have a safe weekend, everyone, and a safe holiday. Enjoy the parties, the celebrations, but please be careful, be safe. We want to see you back here next weekend when we bring you more of It's Your Money in the New Year.